I'm Kieran Ryan for MoneyWeb, and we're talking again to Justin Clark, who is the Chief Operating Officer at Orbvest. Orbvest is a very interesting South African company originally that is involved in the global real estate market, and it's focused specifically on medical real estate in the United States. It's been going for a few years now, and it has built up a track record of generating returns for investors of 2% per quarter, and in fact, in some cases, has exceeded that. Now, the minimum investment there is $5,000, which is about 75,000 rand. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to talk again to Justin and just get a little bit more detail on what exactly is in these portfolios. So we thought we'd look under the hood. Justin, welcome again.
Thank you, Kieran. Looking forward to it.
Okay, so let's just talk about some of these portfolios that you've got. First of all, you're focused on medical real estate in the United States, but not just in the US. You're focused on certain states in particular. Just tell us which states you're in and why have you focused on those?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite topics, Kieran. You know, I think that, the United States is a big place, and we have a funnel. And the funnel is the fundamentals that make up real estate value and retain real estate value. And we look for a bunch of things. We look for first fundamental, that is population growth. Second fundamental is absolutely GDP growth. Third fundamental is business-friendly environment. Landlord-friendly environment. And it's very, when you start working down the funnel, I'm not going to go through all the detail. We end up with some areas that are super interesting. And maybe I should just touch on those, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
So in Georgia, the city of Atlanta has the biggest airport in the world. It is a completely diversified economy. So it doesn't matter if there is a particular recession in a particular field, like oil. It will make absolutely zero difference to the economy there. Completely diversified, the global economy all in one city. And so we absolutely love that type of city. So we have a lot of emphasis on it. And our project that we call Medical 24 at the moment is a portfolio of six buildings in that particular region spread around the city of Atlanta. The other one that is fascinating is Texas, and I think many of the listeners would have heard a lot about Texas. But one of the things that people don't know is that the Texas area has a GDP the same size. In fact, I think it's larger than France. So one state in the U.S. is bigger than the country of France. The building we have at the moment is in the Fort Worth, Dallas area. And Fort Worth, Dallas is pretty much, for South Africans, is like Johannesburg, Pretoria. It's kind of grown into one big mega city. And, to give you an idea, Texas, the growth in population is running at about over 14% per annum in population growth.
Why is that? Just explain that. That's huge.
It's just, extremely well-run, business-friendly state. It's tax-free. A lot of industry is moving into both Georgia and Texas for this reason. And perhaps I should mention that one of the reasons why Houston is the biggest medical conglomerate of medical companies is because in the U.S., litigation is a big problem in the medical space. A large chunk of your revenue, if you're a medical practitioner, has to go to medical insurance because you can get hit by enormous claims. In Texas, they've capped it. So, your insurance premiums are considerably lower. If you want to practice and you want to have a specialty service that you can offer to people around the country, you're going to make sure that you have it in Texas. And that's one of the reasons.
And of course, there are a lot of companies we do read about moving from California, which is not particularly business friendly at the moment, to Texas, which has, of course, a good reputation for attracting business. You've already mentioned it's tax-free. I'm not quite sure. Is that no corporate tax there?
No corporate tax in those states, yes. That's correct.
Wow. Okay.
So you've still got your federal taxes, but state tax is up zero.
So you have a portfolio, your portfolio in Texas is based around Dallas-Fort Worth, or does it include Houston as well?
No, we really like the Texaplex area. So we have Texaplex effectively runs, if you look at the I-35, it runs from sort of Dallas, Texas, down to San Antonio, through Austin. In both of those cities, we have buildings. and then down to Houston, in fact, right through to Galveston. That's the full triangle, which includes Houston. So it's that kind of block there, which they refer to generally as the Texaplex.
Right, and how many buildings do you have in your portfolio in the Texas area, or Texaplex?
It's split between Georgia, Texas, and as I say, we have one now that we have in New Jersey. We're trying to get a bit more diversity. I would say that the majority of our portfolio is in that Texaplex area.
Okay. Just describe to us, what does a typical building look like? Do you have certain requirements when you're taking on a building? It's got to be located in a certain area. It's got to be a certain size. It doesn't need too much renovation. Just describe that process.
Let's talk about the Dallas one, for example, because it's a perfect example of what we look for. So this is a really magnificent building. It's an 11-story building. It is 200,000 square foot of lettable area. You know, that's a big building. And transaction size is just under $40 million. So we acquire it at that price. And what is nice about this building is that it is 40% medical already. So let me get into that as well. So right next to it is one of the biggest 800-bed hospitals called Medical City. And Medical City has expanded so that it's actually filled up its entire campus. And it has now jumped across the I-75 to Forest Park Medical Center, which I built on the other side. And now it's moving in our direction, and it's taken over the building right next door to us. And now the tenants are starting to flow into this particular building. So 40% of the building is already medical. And there is demand, but there are obviously some existing office tenants in there. So as we get the office tenants out, and there is a little bit of vacancy coming up now, so we replace those office tenants with medical tenants. And just to give you, again, an idea, an office tenant will pay, $21 per square foot. A medical tenant will pay up to $25 a square foot.
Oh, okay.
The leases on a small office, the guy will want a 3 to 5 year lease max. Medical, in our last building, we had average leases of 17 and a half years. So we push the leases out by having medical, and that's one of the things that makes it so recession resistant. So, and then basically, I guess what your listeners are interested in is the sort of returns that we would offer on a building like that. So bear in mind, returns is a look into the future. So it's all just modeling.
Mm-hmm.
But we are hoping to be able to generate an ultimate exit of 16.5 RR on this particular building. And your cash on cash looks fairly consistent, averaging around about 8%, which is one of our criteria. We look to pay an 8% yield on these buildings.
Okay.
Remember that depends on the performance of the building.
So you're targeting 8% return per year, and an IRR of 16% on the exit. Just talk for a minute about the minimum investment. That's $5,000 for a South African. That's about 75,000 rand. Typically, your investors, are they coming in at that threshold, or are you getting people investing far larger amounts?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. I think that the idea is that's not really worth our while. It's a bit of a loss leader to do a $6,000 investment. But you know what? It is the best way to taste what we're offering. And so if somebody's interested, we get them to come and taste. Take a $5,000 investment and experience the process and how it all works, and then we can make sure you come back and invest a lot more. So the $5,000 is really a teaser. But, I would say that that a lot of our investments happen at around $50,000 to $100,000. That's kind of the sweet spot for us.
Okay. And I think it's also important to mention that investors do actually acquire a physical asset. In other words, they're buying a building. It's not like it's a pooled investment. Have I got that correct?
Indeed. And I think that's what makes it attractive. First of all, it's ring-fenced. So you're buying into a company which owns only that building. Second of all the details of the building up front, because all the tenants are on, what rent they're paying, exactly what the operating costs are. It's beautifully contained. Very different from a fund. You're buying something quite specific.
Justin, what happens if Donald Trump gets booted out of office next year?
So in the event that happens, if you look at the leading Democrats, they're all proposing increased spend on Medicaid, on medical, free Medicaid, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not going to reduce demand at all. It's going to increase demand. And how that gets spread out is the question. But remember that we're offering a more cost-effective service. That is, the service of a medical practitioner in his room doing the procedure rather than you going and booking into hospital for 48 hours. We're never going to spend less on medical, I'm afraid.
Right. The other point that I think needs to be emphasized here, that medical is always a defensive investment, is it not? I mean, no matter what happens in the economy, the buildings that you are renting to medical professionals, there's going to be demand for them.
Yeah, the fundamentals are, if you look at the U.S., you know, nearly 18 million people will be over the age of 65 by 2050. It's an exponential problem. And we know that those people over 65 need five times more medical services than somebody under 65. I mean, it's a problem you're not going to be able to make go away. I'm not afraid. I'm very happy that it is that way, Kieran.
All right, so demand for medical buildings is going to be there no matter what happens.
Exactly.
All right, Justin, we're going to leave it there. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks again, Kieran.